Hey everyone, it's Sonia here. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Fresh Approach Fitness. Oh, I did it again. Let's go. Oops, I did it again. Okay. Y'all know by now I'm working on a company name change and I keep on screwing it up. Fresh Approach Wellness because I am no longer just focused on fitness, although I've been posting some more fitness videos, but it's not like when I had my fitness studio. So things have changed, life has changed. And you all know right now, I take a full pillar approach to health and happiness, meals, movement, mindset, and your relationship with money. So
Pillars.
today, yeah, right, the four pillars. Today, we have an amazing guest with us, another Heart to Heart, episode 158. And Layla, please take a moment and introduce yourself to us.
Hi, everybody. So my name is Layla. My last name is Gail. I am a therapeutic coach. I guess I'm a recovering clinical psychologist, but I do coaching now and really more focused on holistic healing. I'm super passionate about balance. So that's what kind of led me to be on the show today is how we can create a little bit more balance in our life and heal some of those wounds, because sometimes when we're out of whack, we just don't feel like ourselves. So I don't know, where do I start? I
Well,
recently
okay, I'll coach you on this. Where
Now,
do you
here you go.
start?
I'm gonna let you
Okay.
answer the questions.
I'm gonna start you off. What does out of whack mean to you?
Out of whack, I think, is when we just feel misaligned in our spirit. I think that that's really what it is. We're not listening to ourselves.
And that's easy to happen, isn't it?
So easy. Yeah.
And in my experience, and I do a lot of talk about chakras, and I know we didn't talk about this behind screen, but having the alignment, the misalignment starts with your root chakra. You cannot even work from there if you don't have that security and that safety. So misalignment can start at the very base, and it will. Tell us about your experience in that area.
I work with my clients with a specific approach, and I teach the quadrinity model. And we look at ourselves, and you kind of take this approach too with the four, areas that you're focusing on. But I think as human beings and as individuals, we function in a quadrinity. And we have our intellect, which is our intellectual self, which is all of our cognition, right? And then we have our social self, which is where all of our emotions and our connections, and that includes a connection to ourselves, to others, our sense of love and belonging. That's our emotional self. And then we have our spiritual self, and that's where our soul resides. That's our essence. This is also the area I think that gets neglected the most. And then we have our physical self, which is just our physical body. And that includes, the way we take care of ourselves, our diet, our exercise, our connection to nature, things like that. And when our quadrinity is in balance, then we feel aligned. We feel like we're in our purpose. We feel fulfilled. We feel the flow, right? We feel all of those things. But when we're out of whack, then there's probably areas of our quadrinity that are being neglected or that are being avoided, and they require a little bit of attention.
And how does somebody know whether or not they're in alignment from your perspective?
From my perspective, is they feel contentment.
If they're in alignment,
When they're in alignment, they feel grounded, they feel content, they feel balanced, they feel at ease and at peace with themselves. So when you're talking about, sacral energy, it's that grounding energy, it's that connection to the earth, to the present moment, to all of those things. And a way to ground yourself is really just to meditate on that, of where do I feel at ease, or where do I feel content, and to be fully present in that space and to give it that attention. When we are not aligned to that space, that's when we feel that anxiety rising, and we feel that, that anxiousness associated with that, or that urgency, or where we feel like we have to figure everything out at the same time, or we have to do all the time. I posted something today that was about being present. And I had a client ask me, so, well, what do I have to do? I said, you don't have to do anything. You just have to be.
I have a trick. I have
What
a
is it?
trick. I have a trick. I have a challenge for everybody listening or watching this right now. I'm going to interfere with my trick. Okay, so put your feet firmly on the ground. They don't have to be tight, but both flat on the ground. Do yourself a solid and wiggle your toes.
I love
Okay,
it.
two things happened right here, right now, right in front of everybody. Layla smiled when she was wiggling her toes, and I smiled when I was wiggling my toes. And the reason why you smiled, and this is the second thing, is because you literally just brought yourself to the present. You cannot wiggle your toes and think about the money that you owe. You cannot wiggle your toes and think about what kind of failure you are. And I just said it out loud because you're not. But that is some of the dialogue happening in your head sometimes. And these are the storylines that happen when you're not in balance. But we don't see it because we're so deep in scarcity. And we're so deep, and we can be stuck in this phase for a very, very long time. Like, you could be doing the right things, but one thought will keep you there. One storyline will keep you there. So yeah, of course you can wiggle your toes every day, and you can start to change your vibration bit by bit by doing the work, but this doesn't happen like that.
No, it takes practice. It takes practice for sure. And it takes attention. You know, there's a buzzword that's been around for a long time. It's just being mindful, you know, and mindful attention, and it's mindful everything now. Mindful eating, mindful walking, mindful, 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 right? But mindfulness is really just paying attention on purpose to the present moment. It's being able to focus your attention intentionally to what's happening right here in this moment. Not thinking about the past, not future casting, not worrying about anything else, but being fully aware of what's going on. That right there, when we are able to be mindful with ourselves, I think that that creates a sense of balance, because we've put our attention where it needs to be, but we don't judge it. We just sit with it. We just bring our awareness to it.
And that's another skill right there, not judging it. And that is huge. So we have so much dialogue going on every second of the day. And sometimes that dialogue interferes with what you really want it to be. And then the judgment starts.
Yeah. And the judgments can be hypercritical. You know, our thoughts are very, very mean at times. We're really pretty mean to ourselves. And when we start paying attention to the way that we talk to ourselves, the relationship that we have with ourselves, with our thoughts, with our emotions, we're not very nice.
We're not. I'm actually going to pull something up while you're saying that. I'm going to quote you. I'm going to read something that came up in my reading today. So you finish, but this is what I'm doing. I'm not ignoring you.
No. But watching that self-talk and those self-judgments that we have, and we judge everybody else. We are just judgmental people. And we get into this mindset where we enjoy being judgmental. We're criticizing other things instead of just bringing our awareness to something and just acknowledging it from a factual standpoint or a validating standpoint, where validation is not about agreeing with something. It's just about acknowledging something.
Yes. Validation is about awareness.
Yes.
And when you're in that space of awareness, you're open. You're open to what's working or what's not working. Mm-hmm. And I give you a hint, the more powerful of the two is what's not working. Mm-hmm. What you don't like will happen and appear in your life first versus what you do like. All right, so one of my mindful practices, I said that with funny ear quotes there, ear quotes, for anybody that's listening to the audio, part of my morning practice is to pull my cards and to do some reflections on it. And years ago, I never included this book that I'm going to show you guys, unless there was a problem. And a friend of mine said to me, why are you waiting until there's a problem to go to this book? Why isn't that part of your practice? Because I'm not highly religious. I'm more spiritual versus religious. And this is an angel book. And I'm like, okay, she's in my life for a reason. This was a very powerful message, and it's absolutely true. So this is Doreen Virtue, Daily Guidance with the Angels, if you can see it here. And this was actually a gift from my mom in December 2011. My mom gave me this book. Okay. This is a loved book. Like, it's dog-eared and chewed and taped and everything. So how I work with this every day with my reflections, this is one of my non-negotiables. And I literally just open the book, set an intention, and fan the pages. And it's really freaky when the pages land with one in the middle and two dropping. And it's like, what's it supposed to be? But this particular passage, I am going to quote some of it. It actually is where I landed today, and it says, heal insecurities. And what is so powerful is exactly what you just said. I'm actually going to read it. It won't take long, but it's very, very powerful. And if you have this book, it's number 118. So there's no page, but it's like 118. And it says, heal insecurities. At times, you feel insecure about your worthiness and wonder if you're even lovable. You worry that no one really cares for you or even likes you, and you feel all alone. These are occasions where we stand the closest beside you, shielding you from your own outpouring of painful emotions. If these energies were allowed to surround you, they'd attract hurtful situations that weren't of your conscious choosing. Because we work closely with our angels and have asked us to guard you emotionally, we'll even protect you from yourself upon occasion. In human terms, at time, you are your own worst enemy. Because you feel unlovable, you begin to attract circumstances and relationships that confirm that belief. It's destructive to involve in self-pitying thoughts and emotions, yet we understand that every human being succumbs to them sometimes. Insecurities are akin to slipping while rock climbing. Love the analogy here. The moment you catch yourself falling, it's important to call for help and to reach for your lifeline. We're here to catch you whenever you fall. However, your free will dictates that if you wish to suffer with miserable perceptions of yourself, even God can't do anything to interfere. You need to ask for help. So we stand by sending you loving rays of hope, but unless you accept the gifts that are in front of you right now, they'll slide right off you.
Wow.
Call upon us at this very instant that you become aware of hurtful thoughts or feelings. We'll buoy your faith that you're completely lovable, likable, and worthwhile just for being who you are right now. And that's a fact. How fitting is that based on what we were just talking about?
Yeah. I mean, she's really referencing that divine intervention that we need to contradict some of those negative messages that we give to ourselves, right? And so in my line of work, I refer to this part of yourself as your ego. And you know, I'm certified in a really cool method for healing trauma called the AHAVA method. It's AHAVA. And it's a brand new modality that has just come out, but it's really about finding your soul purpose and healing the ego. But what it's right in line with what you just read, but those insecurities, those messages of unworthiness, right? Those messages of I need to be alone and I don't belong and I'm not lovable and I'm not good enough. All of those things, I mean, they form in our ego, right? Our ego is formed in this pain, but really it's just a protection because we're so scared, because we've been wounded at some point and we start depending on ourselves, right? And we're like, oh, we shut everybody out. And really that divine intervention is being able to go onto the other side, into our soul and seek our purpose, but also seek that connection and that sense of love and belonging in this world and with others. And we can't do it alone. Our ego wants to help. We can, but that's not true.
we can, and yet we have these resources and tools in front of us, and most people don't know how to tap into them.
They We're don't.
Just, well, like I was just sharing that as a coach, I needed to be coached as to why am I referencing my angel book when there's a problem? It's like praying when you need something solved.
Yeah,
right.
And like only coming there when you need help, but not to celebrate or be grateful or to, you know, connect.
And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter who it is. So tell us a little bit more.
AHAVA. Yeah.
AHAVA.
AHA healing. But it uses the AHAVA method. This was invented by the CEO of the company. Her name is Janice Taylor. So she developed this modality over 25 years of research, incorporating a lot of different things, but it's definitely a healing approach. And it's really about finding your purpose and telling your story. And using your story of your life and your pain points also to find your true soul purpose and that alignment that we were talking about kind of at the beginning of this podcast. And that fulfillment, that alignment comes when our soul is aligned to our purpose. And when we start listening to that purpose, and when we start negating some of those ego-based thoughts that are, those are formed in fear, those are formed in darkness, those are formed in protection,
yes,
those are external, those are depending on other people, and the answers of how we think we need to be or what we should be, right? All of those judgments that arise. But the soul is completely different. It's internal, it's in light, it's in love, it's in acceptance, it's in solitude, it's in peace, it's in flow, it's in all of those things.
It's in all of those things, but it's not something that you can easily tap into.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's the beauty of this method, and partially why I left my corporate job and opened up my coaching practice, is to really just allow people to do this and to help guide them there. Because ultimately, I think that's what most people are seeking, is their soul and living their life in that flow. Mm-hmm. And so in this method, we uncover the ego, and we really discover and adventure into the soul's purpose. And we use our own experiences and our own belief systems, and we really dive deep into where those came from, and really where those messages of unworthiness, where those codependent patterns, where those insecurities, where those wounds, where those traumas happens. A trauma is really just a break in the spirit. It's a wounded okay. spirit. That's kind of how I look at it. Some of them are really, really big, and some of them are seemingly insignificant, but they weren't insignificant to us. They were significant right. enough for us to put a protection up
yep.
or to create a negative message of, I'm not worthy. I don't belong. I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that. And it changes the way that we show up in this world.
And they're not always our stories, are they?
Mm-hmm. No. Sometimes they're just messages or something that someone told us, or a thought that we had, an assumption that we had, or an interpretation that we had sometimes in early childhood, where it's buried in the subconscious. You know, and in your reading, she referenced that. She called it unconscious choosing. And our unconscious drives so much of our thoughts and our emotions and our reactions to things, that really uncovering what those unconscious choosings are mm-hmm. can reveal so much healing.
And it takes work.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It takes time, and it takes patience. And I don't care who you are listening to this, those are still your barriers to success. Time, mm-hmm. patience, awareness, understanding. Don't think because you're a coach or an influencer or a leader or a mom or an executive that you can just flip a switch, do the work, and have it come to fruition.
No way.
Yeah, no, I see you nodding. I see you're shaking your head, right? Yeah. Like,
we're not immune to it. No.
We're not immune. Like, honestly, we can almost be our own worst critics in this space. Absolutely. Because we know the work. We know it works. But yet that inner dialogue, we're still doing something to keep our vibration low.
Mm-hmm. We're making ourselves small.
Say it again.
We're making ourselves small.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how often do we see that?
So often.
So what are some of your, what would be your first recommendation to help somebody become more aware as to where they're at right now?
Curiosity.
Ah.
You know, I think that being curious about yourself and not, it's back to kind of taking a non-judgmental stance about yourself, of not thinking like, well, I should have all the answers, or I shouldn't feel this way, or I should be better by now, or I shouldn't be doing this, but really just approaching it with a curious spirit and saying, well, why am I here? Why do I feel this way? Where did this pain point come from? Where did I get this from? You know, when did I start feeling this way? And investigating it with a sense of curiousness. And that curiosity really reveals a lot of logical answers that I think take us in a different direction. And so I think the first step for somebody who's feeling maybe out of whack or out of balance, maybe this is kind of the topic that we kind of keep coming back to, is to just be curious and to be open to new experiences and to new investigations of, what journey am I on? And what do I need to be doing right now to get me to that next phase? And also looking at it, that this is not a lifelong journey of healing. Healing, that's such a terrible message that I think in the therapeutic world we want to send. You know, I was a psychologist and a therapist for 12 years, and we are conditioned to think that healing is lifelong and that addiction is a disease. And I don't believe that to be true at all.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I don't want to say there's a time and a place for those things, but they come into your, because just because you drink doesn't mean you're an alcoholic. Just because you eat doesn't mean you're a food addict, right? So, but yet some people are. So this is where I'm saying it's a time and a place to teach people the lessons to help other people be influenced. And when you eliminate the right wrong and just accept it for what it is as part of your journey, it changes the story altogether.
It really does.
Yeah.
And it changes your acceptance of yourself and your emotions and the comfort level that you have with your emotional space.
Yes.
If I'm sad, well, I'm sad. Well, why am I sad? Let me answer that question. We don't allow ourselves the curiosity or the attention to our own emotional experiences to say, well, why am I feeling this way? And to not judge it, just be like, well, I'm feeling this way because of this.
Right. And that's okay. Well, and it's interesting that you say that, because for the first 2 years, most recently when I'm doing my reflections with my different oracle cards and in my angel book and that, if there's a question now, I will sit and answer it. In the past, I wrote it out and let it sit. But now it's like, no, I'm going to answer this. It's just going to take a few more minutes, but it's going to open up a new way of thinking.
Yes. And this is you and your soul.
Yes.
This perfect example of that, because you are seeking the answers internally instead of externally. We're externally when we're in our ego, right? We're in our fear and we're hiding. We honestly just have a mask on. But when we're in our soul, like you're explaining, we have no mask. We're just fully ourselves. We're flowing. We're accepting. We're just exploring. We're just living. We're being happy. We're doing all of those things. But when something comes up, you don't go back into that fear. You go back into the, I have the answers for this. You know what, the God, universe, spirit, whatever you want to call it, we have those answers within. But when we negate it and when we seek external validation, that's when we know when we're in our ego.
And we're so used to that.
Yes.
We're so used to that. And I want to reiterate, there is no right wrong here. Don't think you're doing anything wrong. We were raised this way.
Absolutely.
We were taught this. This is our society's way of educating us. But when you're working with a coach, when you're trying to up-level your life and somebody asks you a question and you don't know the answer to it, that's where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want, if you know the answers, what's the point?
What's the point? And okay. We don't have all the answers either.
No.
Sometimes we need to say, I really don't know. Maybe you need to spend some time exploring that and figuring that out, because you have the answers ultimately for your own healing and guidance.
Okay.
Right? I remember that book. Where was that book? And going to your bookshelf and finding it, rereading something.
It's amazing that you're saying that. It's amazing that you're saying that, because it's come to the point in my life. Like, I know I'm a, those that are new, for those that are stumbled across this, some of you or some from those Layla's fans that are listening to this, I am very much an athletic geek. So last year I read 31 books.
Love it.
Right. So I can now tell you which book has which quotes, which is weird. So one of the things that you mentioned that I want to go back and circle to, because it's a great starting point for anybody to research without even getting in touch with you or me. I want them to get in touch with both of us. I have an amazing wellness quiz, which lets me know where you're at in terms of your chakras. It's on my link tree will be in the show notes. It's an absolute free assessment. I go over the phone with you and do three different takeaways. And I know you've got different components as well. And we're going to include all of that in the show notes, but something that's absolutely free is Google emotional guidance scale. And it's going to look kind of like, here's one example. This one looks like a sunset sunrise.
Yeah.
And you can see on the one side, it says
shame, powerlessness, and despair.
Okay. Grief, and then
depression, you go fear.
All the way to the other side, and you're feeling
knowledge, empowerment, joy, freedom, gratitude, and love. I love it.
And
It's
this
like
looks like,
your soul side and your
yes.
inside. Yep.
Yes. And they're all different colors. So find out where you land. Now, this is an essential oil book that I'm referencing, but I know Law of Attraction, Emotional Guidance Scale, Esther and Jerry Hicks, Teachings of Abraham. It is online. Get your finger on the pulse, because without judgment, if you can figure out how you're feeling right now, and if you make this a daily practice just to figure out what area you're landing in, you know where to start when you're speaking to somebody. You have a little bit further depth as to, okay, I'm in despair. Why am I in despair? Well, since COVID, my world's been rocked. You know, my studio closed and I bounced from job to job or whatever. My business was doing good and then it dropped. Like, whatever your story is, that just so happens to be my story. And that's enough, right? Like, all of those things, those are three big things. So you don't need to add more weight to that. That's enough to sink you down. But know that you can get out of it and it can change. You just have to understand where you're at right now.
And knowing that your story matters.
I don't know if you know this. I don't think you know this. Ta-da! I wrote a book. Told you.
That is so funny. So AHAVA, the AHA Healing. So people can look it up if they need more information. It's www.ahahealing.com.
We're going to include that in the show notes. Yes.
But the tagline for it is your story matters, you know, finding, turning your pain into your purpose. But you are so right that being curious about your story and allowing your pain or your despair or whatever it is to matter, and to give it that attention and that investigation of saying, hey, it matters that I'm feeling like I'm in despair right now. It matters that I lost my job. It matters that I lost my work, my studio. It matters that I'm struggling right now. And just giving yourself some space and allowing like your heart to just be like, oh, it
And
matters.
it matters, and we can do hard things. And I do recommend that people go through this, because this is a women's self-love,
Oh, I love
self-awareness
that.
workbook,
I'm going to have to
even.
check that out for sure.
You're going to want to check this out. And I've created a course to support people going through it, so they're not going through it alone, to give them some direction. Because when you're tapping in so deeply to who you are, it can be heavy.
And it's hard.
It's
And
hard.
that's why I think we need to lean on other people in our life, right? Because so
Yes.
often I think those insecurities drive us to being alone, you know, and there's a difference between loneliness and aloneness,
Yes,
right?
there is. Yes.
When we are on this journey for healing, I think we really need people alongside us that can guide us and support us and encourage us. And if we're having a really shit day, you know, just being like, it's okay. You know, what do you need right now? Do you need a bath? Do you need a walk? Do you need a nap? Do you need the day off? What do you need? Do you need a pint of Ben and Jerry's? You know, but paying attention, I can
Sorry,
always like.
you said Ben and Jerry's. I was thinking Fireball whiskey. I'm just saying. I'm just saying where I go, and you're telling me where you go.
I know. I go to wine and ice cream.
So there we go. I go to wine too. I don't have, can't do Fireball. I like the thought of doing Fireball, but I can't do Fireball as much as I'm getting older. So yes,
Yeah, fire
keep
is
working.
a little different in our 40s, right?
Right? We are keeping it real here, folks, 100%. Layla, this has been awesome so far. We're gonna hone in on these four questions I have. I know we talked a lot about mindset. We
Yes.
intertwined so much about mindset. So let's go over the three other pillars that create a very strong foundation. So I've used this analogy before. And again, for those that are not familiar, when you think of the four pillars of meals, movement, mindset, and your relationship with money. And think of it as a root or a tree growing strong. But with these four pillars, if a big wind comes, you're safe and secure and you're solid and you're flexible enough to bend, but you're not breaking anymore because you have a good relationship with money, because you do take care of your physical fitness, mind, body, spirit, because you do eat as nutritiously as you can on most days, not every day, but most days. Right, we're keeping this real, and then your mindset is open. Open,
I love
not closed, but open. So tell me, where does meals, tell us a little bit about meals.
that.
Perfect too.
I have a very close relationship with food, but I also love to cook. And this the kitchen is my happy place. And it's also a space where I express a lot of love for other people. I love to cook for people. I love the community. I love the communion of eating together and making a meal. But I think really it brings me a lot of joy to fuel my body and to take care of my family with healthy cooking. And I think it's a celebration of your body and it's a celebration of your health. And when we have that balance in our meal prepping and our meal exploration, like, you know, meal planning, I do a whole menu planning every week. And so sometimes, you know, we'll vary what we're doing, but for the most part, I'm pretty regimented with all of that. And I think it's really important to pay attention to what we're putting into our bodies and to look at it as it's not just fuel, but it's also joy, you know, and sometimes eating the pie, having the fireball shot, eating the cookie after you've had a really beautiful dinner is a joyous thing. And it's a celebration of your health and it's a celebration of your wellness. But I do think that there takes a lot of forethought into that and planning ahead for that. But really being very mindful of, again, what you're consuming. I think that that's really important.
And I want to expand on something that you said. So Tony and I have date night. So we're in a blended relationship and we have date night every single night. 9:30, we meet on the couch. And you know, this is my third major relationship in my life. So the first two were not interested in date night. And you know, is it what sets us apart from most? Probably, because we are taking this time together no matter what. I mean, yes, there's the odd exception, but even Saturday night when I'd spent Friday night away, we spend time together, right? To watch a show before bed. Even if we go out, we normally at least come together, relax. We don't even really talk while we watch the show. It's in silence, but we just be. And with that comes, and you nailed it, with that comes a celebration of sorts, normally a tea and a treat. And I might choose to have frozen yogurt. He might choose to have apple crisp. But when I am in the prime of my fitness goals, I will be doing what you just talked about and maybe making my a smoothie a little bit thicker so I can eat it with a spoon at night. So it's a little bit healthier. It takes a little bit more thought and preparation, but you know, that tea and treat right now is a celebration of just us being. Yes.
Connection.
The connection, and we do put so much food around celebration, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I, you know, I had my children all came over. I have four kids and the ages are 24, 21, 18, and 16. So
we can relate. We have five between us, 31, 25, 23, 21, 17, and then a grandson and my aging parents. There's our story.
It's a different dynamic when your kids are older, right? Because they're adults for the most part, but we really enjoyed having this meal together, you know, but it was a communion of sort, you know, it's the preparation together, the setting of the table, you know, the presentation, the standing in the kitchen and waiting around and the tasting, you know, I made lasagna soup and French bread and a salad, and we had calamari and all of this wonderful stuff, but they just enjoyed it so much, you know, but watching them eat a healthy meal and ask questions of, well, what did you put in here? And being able to kind of share some of the tricks of the trade, because I do love to cook so much, you know, and having them ask, hey, mom, we really enjoyed this. Can you write this recipe down so that we can make this again? You know, there's so much more that goes into eating and eating healthy and taking care of your physical body than just, you know, boiling some chicken and steaming some broccoli.
Oh my gosh, you know, yes, it's so true.
There's not going to be a whole lot of joy in that, even though sometimes there's a need for it, right? If we're trying to meet a fitness goal that we have, sometimes our attention needs to change. But I do think that we need to look at food as a relationship, and we have to invest in that relationship. And that doesn't just come flippantly. You can't just go to the, you know, fast food restaurant and expect a good result. Because it's that instant gratification, just like a relationship. If we pour in a little, we're going to get a little back. we invest a lot, we're going to get a lot back.
And it's true. The more conscious and aware you can be, the easier it is to talk yourself out of going to McDonald's, which is my personal favorite, because I went there as a kid. I love their French fries. But here's the thing. I can talk myself out of it almost every single time now that I crave it. My first storyline is this going to fill me up? No. Is this going to make me feel good? No. Is this going to cost me more money than I want to spend? Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So guac it is, and I'll get a bowl with no dairy. So no stomach ache and no grease and no fat. And I just can't even finish the bowl. So when you're aware of what works for you, it's easy to make those choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope the audience hears us loud and clear. Neither one of us as professionals mm-hmm. are saying not to have anything.
No. And you know, you touched on something like the McDonald's thing, right? As sometimes we have this like comfort food. And I think when we're talking about balance in ourselves, right, is that sometimes the answer will be, will this make me happy? Yeah.
Sometimes
my little girl just wants McDonald's French fries and a happy meal.
Oh my God.
And sometimes the answer to that is yes, this is what I need right now. And I'm not going to answer that question every day, 30 days in a row, because that would be healthy. And if I'm taking care of my emotional needs in that moment, if I listen to that one time where my little girl, my inner child says, I want the happy meal with the toy, then I'm going to listen.
All I'm thinking about is a cheeseburger with extra ketchup. And I'm like,
Yes. And there's no judgment in that, right? It's not going to ruin our whole path. Again, if we do it every day, then maybe we need to investigate why we're doing that, right? Or why we're numbing out with food or something like that. But listening to those needs, I think, is really, really important. And I think food is a great way to fuel our soul sometimes.
Yeah.
It is a relationship that we have, and we want to have a healthy relationship. So we want to have a healthy balance with the food.
With the food and its balance. All right. Yes. We have two more questions because I do have to sign off in 10 minutes or less. Movement. What kind of movement do you practice?
I practice a variety of movement. I love nature, so I walk a lot. I take a couple of walks a day, and I live in the forest, so I have a beautiful backdrop for that. But I love nature. So I love hiking, being outside, skiing. At home, I practice, I have a Peloton bike, so I love it. My favorite. So spin classes or weight training and yoga. And I would say movement also includes a lot of meditation, because sometimes the movement is just in stillness.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I do an activity like that, I like to just sit and be still, you know, and to just kind of refocus on, give some gratitude to my body for the movement that it was able to just create for me. I like to spice it up. I like to have variety, because if I do the same thing all the time, I get bored.
Well, and that's you being authentic, right? And I'm the exact same way. So my gratitude piece is practiced in the shower right after my workout.
Love it.
Right? It's natural for me when I'm going through cleaning my body to practice gratitude that exact same time. But I completely agree with you. And I was going to say, did you catch my YouTube today? Because I talked about my spin bike, how it's part of my cross training for my run. And then I actually recorded myself and I uploaded it to my YouTube channel. So for those that are listening to this, I'm actually talking about YouTube on March 20th, 2023. And I actually recorded a 15-minute workout and posted up on my channel to go with it. So I didn't show everybody with me dying on the spin bike, but
it's a great workout. It's really
you use Peloton. I found Spin Junkie, and I am going to refer to her on YouTube. I might actually add her to the show notes here. She's amazing. I literally shut off the light and go all retro and crank up the music. And I just love it. And it's fun. And like you, I'm a multi-passionate exerciser.
Mm-hmm.
I'm training for runs right now. I'm reconditioning my body after being out of the element for a little bit. And, so it's slow and steady, but with Mother Nature and getting outside and running and living in Canada, it's not like California. We still have snow.
I think variety is really important for movement.
Me too.
I think And I think listening to yourself, like if you're not feeling an exercise that day, to not just be, oh, I'm just not going to do anything, but to have a toolbox that you can draw from and try something different. If you don't feel like you don't have it in you, there's days where spin is just, I'm just not into it. You know, I just don't have the energy, or I just don't have the mental space. And I just want to go for a walk, or I want to go skiing, or I want to go do something that's connecting me and grounding me to the earth. I think it's really important to not give up and to not be kind of one track mind with it, but to give yourself options. And again, that kind of boils down to asking yourself questions. What do I feel like doing for exercise today? It's not, do I feel like exercising today? It's, what do I feel like doing for exercise today?
There are some non-negotiables.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about your relationship with money. How has it changed over the years?
Oh, this is such a great question. You know, you referenced the scarcity mindset at the beginning of the podcast. And for me, I have completely redefined my relationship with money since I opened up my private practice. My priorities have really simply shifted, and I look at it as a much more simplistic perspective right now. You know, my relationship with money is more about happiness. And does this drive me? Does this suit me? Does this fit my purpose? Do I really need this? Instead of, do I have to have this, or how am I going to get it? But the scarcity mindset was a big proponent for that, and really propelled me into a different direction when I stopped looking at it from the scarcity mindset of looking at it. And it wasn't just a need that I had, that this is just something that it's just a part of life, but this is not my ultimate need. And when I shifted into that, the money's just there and the anxiety is not associated with it like it used to be.
And that was a process, wasn't it?
It was a huge process, yeah. And it took a lot of struggle financially to get there until I really had to just release it.
And the inner peace. There's a lot of inner peace practice that goes with that too.
Yeah, sometimes we have it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have it in abundance, and sometimes it's scarce. But that doesn't mean that it's bad or that I need more. It just means I need to be okay with what I have in my present moment. And I need to not judge it. Yeah. The judgment of money, I think, is, I struggled with that for many, many years as a single mom, of feeling inadequate financially because I didn't have a ton. And in retrospect, we had so much more than we ever needed, you know?
Yeah. And I love that, you know, you don't see it when you're going through that mountain, when you're climbing up, 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 up. And okay, let's reverse it. When you're going down, 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 further down into a hole, that makes a little bit more sense.
Yes, that is harder.
It's harder to get back up. So if you can think of it, you know, we have everything that we needed, and you know, maybe you need to play a game every once in a while with how low can the fridge go? But I raised three kids too. And it's not, you know, if you can make a game of it and have it fun and know that it's going to be replaced. And there are some of the darker moments, but we grow from there.
Yeah. You know, I took a workshop for marketing. And the presenter, her name is Cassidy Marie, and she's just phenomenal. She just has so much joy and so much wisdom to share financially. But she talked a lot about the mindset of scarcity. And do we have a lion mindset, or do we have a sparrow mindset?
Ooh.
And the lion mindset is very powerful. It's very confident. It knows its purpose. It doesn't apologize. It's unapologetically a lion. And it has power, and it has ability to rule, but a peacefulness about them, right? And when we're looking at money, I think that that's really important, is just that confidence of what I have is enough. And if it's not, well, what can I do to get there in confidence, not in anxiety, right? Sparrow mindset is a little bit different. I'm small, I'm anxious, I'm fluttering, I'm flailing, I'm going bouncing around from one thing to the next just to get it to work, right? But I'm flapping all the time, I'm not confident.
It's not confident, but the way you describe that, I'm like, I was sitting in that space. I can understand what that feels like. And I know we all can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's so hard when we're there because we can't see the way out.
We can't. And this is a perfect segue to, this is why you need a coach. This is why you need to link arms with somebody So you're getting pulled through to that light, because when you're in that darkness, no matter what it is really hard some days to put one foot in front of the other. And you could be that lion, but acting like that sparrow.
Yes. Yes. And we need,
because you're so desperately trying to get something to stick.
Yeah,
taking
we're
a step
starving.
back. Yes. Yeah. Taking a step back, having some guidance, some assistance could change everything. All right. I know we have one more thing to share to everybody that's looking for it. Show us your coffee cup.
Here we go. Here's my mug.
Yours says, moms are the best people who know the best and love us the most. And mine says, stay you.
I love it.
This one has a match that says, stay true.
True.
Do you have anything else to share before we sign off today?
You know, I think I just feel the need to encourage our listeners today, just that if they are struggling or if they're feeling out of balance, there's hope, and that they have the courage inside, if they dig really deep, that it's there, and that they have the ability to make some changes and to align things in a way that they're going to feel really, really content with. And that if there's that little knocking on your heart, that it's like, you know what, I do need to be vulnerable and ask for help. That there are so many amazing people out there like you, like me, like some of my coworkers and people that I work with, they're here. And we have a heart to help guide you.
We do. And,
just
yeah.
Listen to that internal kind of knock. So.
Well, and I love, you know, it's listening to your soul's nudge and taking action on it, but with the right people, it feels just like you're doing what we're doing right now. We're just sitting there having coffee and conversation with a friend. And that's how you want it to feel. A coach isn't going to judge you. You know, they're going to gently ask you the right questions. So you guide yourself. They're not going to let you go too far in the darkness by yourself.
And when you're in the darkness, we're there to hold your hand and turn on the light.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes. Well, on that note, everybody, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Layla and I are here to answer any questions that you have. All of our details are going to be in the show notes. Again, this is episode 158. And I love to have you back at the next episode. So thank you so much for your time today.
I appreciate you.
Okay. Bye.